Take me back to the day you find out Coach Rick retires. You've accepted the job at Temple, but now the Canes are calling you. Come coach the team. Just walk me through that. What was going on?
It was a remarkable day. I was actually in a hotel here in town interviewing a coach for Temple. I had flown a coach in to interview him for a job on my staff at Temple when my phone started buzzing, and I was ignoring it. And finally I looked, it was my wife, and she knew what I was doing. I knew, you know, she wouldn't call unless it was important. So I had like those four text messages saying, call me immediately. And so kind of go around the corner, and she says, Mark Rick retired. At that moment, the world started spinning a little bit. And, you know, and all of a sudden I looked at my phone, and I also had a missed phone call from University of Miami, and kind of wondering if I was still in town. And that's kind of how it all started.
I mean, you had to obviously tell the folks at Temple, look, I mean, this is the University of Miami. It's home, and it's a big opportunity. How did that conversation go?
You know, to their credit, they were extraordinarily professional. They understood. They were sad, but they weren't mad. You know, I mean, and in that situation, they could have, you know, really tried to make my life a lot more difficult. But I think there's some really, really good people up there at Temple. I spoke to the athletic director. I called the different members of the board of trustees who had interviewed me for the job. And remember, these are people who gave me my first head coaching job, who I was, you know, deeply indebted to. And I think they understood the unique situation of it being University of Miami. And had it been another school, it wouldn't have happened. And then also the timing. And I have to give credit to the University of Miami. You know, universities don't very generally move quickly. A lot of things had to happen in a very short amount of time to pull it off, because I was not going to lead Temple on over a 2-3-4 day span as to whether I was staying or going.
You understand the relationship this city has to this team, the history this team has. When you look back, what is your favorite memory of university, and before coaching, your favorite memory of UM football?
It was when I was a kid, you know, going to the big games in the Orange Bowl on the Saturdays, you know, whether it was, I think it was 86, you know, Oklahoma. I think that was that might be one of the game that really put Miami on the map nationally. Certainly Miami had won a national championship in 83, but that's really when they were sort of taking things over at that time. And Miami, there had always been big Florida or Florida State games in the Orange Bowl, but this was the first time a major opponent came in, and the city just brought it, and it was just, you know, it was just a dominating performance from start to finish. So just all those sort of, you know, magical nights or magical Saturday afternoons in the Orange Bowl just when I was growing up. And really, it was very important because, it's, you know, Miami was, it was at a difficult time in the 80s. Miami was going through a lot of different types of growing pains, and the one thing that the city could all come together on was the Miami Hurricanes. It represented us and the diversity of the city and the uniqueness of our culture down here, I think, was all really represented in watching those guys run around and play.
All right, so here's a team with a lot of history, a lot of championships. You're reminded of that every time you walk around. The banners are there. So every coach who's ever been in this position since all of that winning, there's the pressure to live up to a standard, to live up to that history. So you're now the new coach. What's the pressure you're feeling, or how do you approach that?
You know, you don't put pressure on yourself any more than what you would do to do the best job you can do. Everyone understands the expectation here, but why would you want to work at a school that doesn't have the expectation of winning a championship? Why would you want to recruit a player that doesn't want to come to a university where winning national championships is the standard? You know, one thing that I believe in coaching, and whether it's coaching or parenting or running an organization or a company, is that, you know, people will rise to the standards that you set. And so to me, it's a great thing here at the University of Miami where, you know, we can hold our young men to extraordinarily high standards because they understand what the expectation here is. We want to compete for championships here at Miami.
What's the trick in, if there is such a thing, what is the strategy in recruiting? How do you go out there and you're talking to the top talent and you're going to convince some young man, come play for us, forget Alabama, forget Clemson, forget Ohio State, and God forbid, forget Notre Dame. But what about Miami? How do you convince that young man, come to Miami?
A couple of main things that pop up. Number one, it's about relationships, right? Because ultimately we're in the relationship business, and recruiting is about establishing a relationship with the young man and his family to let him know that you don't just choose a university, you're choosing the people around the university who will, you know, basically look after the student athlete with their best interests in mind, and that can maximize their potential. That's really what this is all about. The second thing, though, and this is where it's really exciting here, what's going on at the University of Miami, is that the young man wants to make sure that we're doing everything in a first-class manner at the level of the big-time programs, like you mentioned, that we are a big-time program, not just because we can point to our five national championships. So, you know, the brand new Carroll Soffer indoor practice facility. We've got brand new dorms on campus that are coming online next year that is a game changer for the University of Miami. What they've done to the stadium, you know, so all these little negatives that people use to recruit against us, they're all slowly going away. So you can tell a young man you don't have to go to, you know, who knows where to play big-time college ball. You can do it at home. Those things maybe didn't matter as much in the 80s and 90s. They matter a lot today. And University of Miami's, I'm fully aware that, you know, me and my staff are the beneficiaries of things that previous head coaches did not have. And it is hard to compete against the current blue bloods of college football without some of the same things that they have.
So I want to ask you real quickly, because you know this is a topic that's discussed nationally from time to time, is the rigors of academics and football and athletes in general. What do you tell parents, you know, when you're sitting down and talking to them and their kids about the education part of it? And that, look, your son, sure, he's going to get the chance to play for a great program, get national exposure. If he has dreams of going to the NFL, we could probably help him get that. But also, look, he's getting an education, and he's not taking simple classes just throw away because it's football. I mean, what's that conversation like with parents? How do you ease their concerns?
Well, you mentioned the key word, which is education. A lot of colleges will sell that you'll get a degree, and you can get a degree, but getting a degree and getting an education are two different things. And one thing that stands out with the University of Miami compared to the people that we recruit against is that we are a private school. We have a small student body. A lot of our recruits don't know that we're a private school at first glance. We have a small student body. You're not going to be in a classroom with, you know, hundreds of kids. And when they start looking at our average class size, and that you're going to have a personal relationship with your professors, the people that teach you, instead of, you know, having to call it a teaching aide or a graduate assistant, if you have to ask a question, it's hard to ask a question, you know, when you've got 150 kids in a classroom. So those are the things that really make University of Miami stand out academically, because we know, I mean, you can be later in life, you can have a piece of paper that said you got a degree, but you can still not have the education that really takes to find value in your life after football. The one thing we guarantee all these young men, at some point in your life, someone's going to tap you on the shoulder and say you can't play this game of football anymore. And the what next is a lot longer part of your life than the what now. And if they're not prepared for that, if we're not preparing for that, then we're really doing them a disservice.
Of course, the other thing when you talk about football is the thing that kind of dominates a lot of the conversation these days is the issue with head injuries. Now, the NFL is putting all this effort into trying to reduce that. What has college football done to try to reduce that? And we've talked to a lot of the folks at UM Med and the research they're doing, but, you know, as a coach, you know, is that in your mind? This is a violent game, but is it in your mind? How do you protect your players in today's game?
It has to be first and foremost in my mind, because I'm going into these living rooms and again, the most valuable resource to this family is their child, and they're putting me in charge of their child. So if I don't have their well-being in everything we do, I'm not worthy of holding the position I hold. But that has to mean something. So, you know, certainly we've changed rules in the way the game is played. That's had a profound impact. The biggest thing for us is, and this will be my sixth year now, we changed the way that we tackle. We took the head out of the tackle, and that's made a profound impact in the safety of the players we've coached and the amount of head injuries that we've had through tackling. And you can play this game. You can play this game in a safe way. There's no doubt that there was a culture around football that in the past, I still can't get my dad to drink water if we're playing golf, because, you know, he thinks that drinking water means that, you know, you're taking the easy way out. You know, it's like, no, you should drink water. You know what I mean? But those are some of the more, I hate to say, but barbaric, you know, coaching methods of yesteryear. And those things are gone. You know, they had to go. And there's too much information out there. And we want to sell that we can make this game as simply safe as possible for the young men to play it.
Talk about culture. And this, I mean, this is something that was promoted in obviously the two documentaries, the U and the U Part Two, but it was just something that UM was known for, was it, its culture. It had a certain, they say swagger, but that the team on and off the field composed itself a certain way. And there were a lot of other teams in the league that kind of didn't like that, but that was, I guess, part of the UM culture. Or is that inaccurate to say that? You've seen it. You grew up with it.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that other people didn't like Miami, and that's still true. But I think that goes back into the city. You know, Miami is one city that it doesn't matter where you are in the country. If you just say Miami, everyone in a word association game, everyone has an image that pops up. And it's certainly not always positive. Our culture, our football culture, a lot of times reflects the culture from the way high school football here is played and coached, the way that youth football here is played and coached. Just our culture as a whole, we're a passionate community, you know, we're a community that enjoys having fun. You know, this is a community, you know, the music and the dancing to me is all part of the cultures, and they all have sort of mixed through the University of Miami. And that, a lot of times, that didn't fit in very well with some of the teams that we were playing from the Midwest. And it was a cultural, it's hard to have a cult, you know, the Miami Dolphins can play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and half of Pittsburgh's team can be from Florida. You know, but generally speaking, when Miami played, you know, Notre Dame back in the day, or Miami played Oklahoma or Nebraska, you were seeing two different cultures on the field. And a lot of people didn't like the Miami culture. Now, what was our mentality on that? We loved it, right? Because that was us. And Miami has always had a little bit of this us against the world, you know, viewpoint. And I think that's represented the Miami Hurricanes.
Something that got a lot of attention was obviously the turnover chain. And all the other teams have been trying to copy it. Where did the idea come from, and why did you think that this could be something that unifies a team and isn't taken the wrong way?
Really, all we wanted was more turnovers. We didn't even think past that. You know, we in 2016, we were excellent in a lot of categories defensively. We did not create a lot of turnovers, and people had different turnover props. We didn't invent the first turnover prop, and we were trying to brainstorm on something that was very uniquely Miami and would really fit in, and we kind of went back and forth, and somebody in the room, this is in our defense staff room, and somebody, you know, chimed in saying, hey, what about a Cuban link? And half the guys in the room didn't really know what a Cuban link was. I think they thought it was a spicy Cuban sausage, you know, but once we, you know, people, some Google a couple of pictures, and once we saw it, it was a runaway. There could be no other winner. We were unaware of the phenomenon it would become, but maybe that's why it works so well. Because if we had wanted it to be, you know, if our intentions were to connect to the community and do all this, I don't know if we'd ever come up with the idea. I think the fact that it was so pure and organic, that's in a way why it caught on so well.
So I read somewhere there's talks of maybe an offensive chain of some sort, or some symbol to use on the offense. Is that true?
Well, yes. I mean, they, all those guys now look at me, right? And they're like, Coach, you're our coach now too. And you know, it's no fair that the defensive guys get to have all the fun. So we'll brainstorm. Like I said, the idea is still in the oven, but it's cooking right now. But we'll probably have something in the fall that let our offensive guys have some fun.
How are you moving the team forward? I mean, do you want to go back to what it used to be, or are you trying to reshape this in your own way? What is that, you know, for you, what is it, your legacy that you want to leave?
Well, you want to hold, number one thing you're going to do is you're going to hold a standard. You have to create a standard. You have to create the core values in terms of how we're going to define ourselves. And that should match with, A, the culture of the university as a whole. And then second, what you believe in as a head coach. So we've had a chance to establish all that. But really, you don't get to spend a lot of time really stepping back and thinking about, wow, you know, we've got this opportunity. You got to get to work. And there were, you know, we did not have a great season a year ago. And there were some obvious things, there were some obvious problems that we had to address. And I think any leader, you know, rule one is you have to address your issues. And, you know, slowly but surely this offseason, you know, we've been trying to address our issues. That doesn't mean that they're all solved. Doesn't mean that they will all necessarily be solved by this fall. But the most important thing is to know where you're strong, know where you need to get better, and then have a plan in place to try to get to that point. Because, again, we all know the standard and the expectation for Miami. So it's time that we have to get the right people on the bus, you know, to take us to where we need to go.
And again, I mean, do you feel any of that pressure? Because new coach, so people are like, all right, we're going to come back to what we used to be. I mean, do you ever feel that from the community? Does anybody ever come up to you whenever you're out somewhere and like, coach, can't wait to get back to that all that winning we used to do?
Yeah, and that's just my family. So I can imagine, but no one wants it more than I do. And that's the thing. I mean, no one wants it more than anybody on the staff, and no one wants it more than the players in our locker room. So it's impossible really for anyone to hold or to put more pressure or to hold us to a higher standard than we hold to ourselves. And I think if we understand that and we understand how we're defined and we know how these things are built and how college football programs are built and something that we want, something that is sustainable for the long term, I think we feel really good about where we're at.